We are constantly being tuned nonstop. We are being tuned to something. We are being tuned either to the tree of life or to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So our words, our even science is now saying that our cells are listening to our words, right? Yeah. And so what we speak, what we hear, what we engage is every single thing is tuning us.
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour. Hi, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to this week's what's going to be a beautiful, empowering episode of Live Your Best Life with, of course, me, Liz Wright. And I love my special guest who's joining me for today, my friend, whose beautiful relationship with Yahweh produces so much fruit. The sounds that she creates, the worship that she creates, is literally given to her through her union with Jesus up in heaven. And she releases those sounds, those frequencies, and containing so much revelation of the beauty of who Yahweh is into the earth for all of us. And she sees transformation. She helps facilitate encounters. She sees healings happening through the beauty of the music that she and Yahweh produce together. And so, of course, it's my absolute joy to be able to have joining me for today's conversation, Laura C. Laura, welcome.
Shalom, shalom. So good to be here. This is our second time. So I'm really excited. Really excited to catch up with you guys.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Okay. One of the things that I wanted to jump off asking you was, I've heard you talking, I can't remember when, but I remember you talking about sonship, our identity, being the foundation of all intimacy and worship, that it's absolutely essential and is the foundation. And so I know you teach on that. And so I thought that's super empowering and really important for people. So can I ask you to just go there to begin with?
Yes, I feel like we're in the age of authenticity and not the authenticity that the, for me, it hasn't been the authenticity that a lot of people are talking about. You know, I'm authentically broken, or I'm authentically angry, or I'm authentically justified. It's different. To me, authenticity means knowing with clarity who we are there, so that we can release it here. And so that's really been the journey I'm on, to help release the sound of remembrance over people so that they can begin to partner with Yahweh in their true identity and true authenticity of their scroll in Yeshua and who they are in Christ. Because I had an encounter, a really powerful, life-shifting encounter in the realm of, the Lord called it the beginning, where I was able to see and experience who I am there so that I could then begin to engage that here. And for me, that is the true version of authenticity is, And honestly, you know, also humility in a way, because true humility is us being who he says we are.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So but you have to know your scroll. You have to know your identity, yourself as a living word out of heaven, not the word, because Yeshua is the word, but a word, because we're made in his image and likeness. So, So, that's been my journey of just helping people by releasing the sounds that I hear there through the music and over people. They just, through the power of Holy Spirit, just begin to seem to begin to hear their call. They begin to remember who they are, as opposed to that which is dismembered.
Yeah, that's so profound.
That's been the journey.
That's profound, Laura. It is, isn't it? It's everything is when we awaken to who we actually are and begin, like you said, to live the authentic life, who we actually are in Him, in heaven, and then live that expression out into the earth from our union, which is what you do. And that's the thing. I know because we've done events together. And when I immerse myself in the sound that comes through you, you do, you go into experience, you remember, you become, you come awake. It's so deep. The sound that you're releasing is so deep. It resonates, doesn't it? And awakens your spirit. And there's so much of who He is revealed through the sound that comes through you. Okay, so I've got to ask you, because loads of you are going to be going, okay, so what was the encounter? What happened to you?
So I was taken in the spirit to this realm of in the beginning, where He was teaching me about who we are seated in Him. So He really just opened my scroll up to me and showed me that the purpose that we are already, like, the fullness of the seed of the tree and the fruit is already contained in the seed. So we are already there, who we are meant to be, our true identity, our true, our new name, right? Our new name and nature. So the invitation then is to be so familiar with our identity there, the way He, and that really just comes from, it is a realm that we can access inside Yahweh. It's the sum of His thoughts over us. It is the set of sounds and frequencies that were given to us when He released us into this realm. And so it is really beginning to recognize why, you know, why was I given the gift that I'm given? Why, when I hear this certain sound, does my spirit leap? How is that connected to my identity and the unique fractal that I am in you, Yahweh? And it's, and He's constantly dropping signals. You know, we call it, I resonate with that.
Right.
Or wow, when I saw that, or when I heard that, like I knew who I was at age 10 when I first was taken by my parents to a Keith Green concert. And
really?
I heard the sound, and it arced within me. My spirit leapt to the point that I was like, I know that I know that I know that is who I am.
Wow.
And so I think that Yahweh does that for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
I think He is constantly giving us clues, hearkening our ear, tuning us to the sound of who we truly are, so that we begin to piece it together. Now, I was taken to this realm and shown it like a book and shown my assignment. And I know that others have said because we can take people only where we've been, right?
Yeah.
So I know that others have said when they engage my music, that awakens within them. They all of a sudden see, it's almost, it's not almost, it is seeing ourselves the way He sees us.
Yeah.
Seeing the finished work, which is Christ formed in us. But there are, we're all created in His image. That's the place to start. That's foundational. But not only are we all created in His image, we all carry unique fractals and unique facets of who Yahweh is and His nature. And so once we begin to see who we are there and how He sees us and how He relates to us there, then we just begin to release that flow here.
Absolutely. You know, so brilliant what you just said. So when you're walking your in your daily relationship with him and in that beautiful partnership that you have with him, the relationship that you have with him that brings forth your unique sound, brings forth all of the worship and the expression into this realm of who you are there. How do you steward your internal world? How do you live? Because it will help other people.
Yeah, that's a great question. I used to spend hours and hours in the very beginning when he first awakened me to who he is. I used to spend hours engaging him in the spirit. Then, of course, life happens.
Yep.
And now, so I have been disciplining myself to every morning I get up and I immediately go into a meditative space for at least an hour to maybe 2 hours. But that's, everyone is different.
Mm-hmm.
But just, it's really important, I believe, that we do it in the morning because our brain waves are not yet in like beta. And so they're still more in the alpha creative state. So I don't look at my phone because that pushes my phone into beta, which is the learning, decision-making, you know, and high beta, of course, is stress.
Mm-hmm.
So I stay in the alpha state, which we organically are when we wake up, so that even my brainwave state is more open to engaging him. So you're coming out of theta, you're coming out of those dream states, and you stay kind of in that space. And I'll either just begin to meditate on his name and nature, maybe on a verse, and just spend the time developing that relationship.
Yeah.
That helps to tune me because, you know, everything is about tuning. And I know I've said this before, but we are constantly being tuned nonstop. We are being tuned to something. We are being tuned either to the tree of life or to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So our words, our cell, even science is now saying that our cells are listening to our words. Right.
Yeah.
And so what we speak, what we hear, what we engage is every single thing is tuning us. So I'm practicing in that morning, just being tuned to heaven first.
Yeah.
And then that tends to kind of set the tone of the day. Some ancient mystics believe that scripture says that the angel of the morning sings our scroll over us every day, which I have this really unique connection to birds. I don't even like birds, but I end up making a lot of bird sounds when I sing. And when I'm singing from the spirit from heaven, there's a lot of bird-like sounds. I asked the Lord, I said, why do the birds sing every morning? And he said to me that they sing the scroll of the land every morning to call it into remembrance, to remind it who it is, to remind the grass, to remind the land, the soil, the trees. So I'm almost doing that with heaven. I'm singing my scroll, tuning myself to my scroll every morning so that I can have it saturated. You know, I can be baptized in who he says I am and what he wants to do. Because now more than ever, we have to know his authentic frequency. Mm-hmm. AI has invited us into that space where if we don't know who he is, then we will be deceived by the counterfeit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even now, just look on your newsfeed, you know, how much of it is AI where you're like, oh man, they got really good fast.
Yeah.
But even a bank teller never handles, one of the ways that they train tellers to spot the counterfeit is they never let them handle the counterfeit. And they make them so familiar with the authentic that it becomes patently obvious when something is counterfeit. And that's the way we have to be spiritually. We have to so know his voice. We have to so know his sound. We have to so have our the eyes of our heart tuned so that we can see, because it's not enough to just hear his voice. It's you know, it's important to see in the spirit. So all our senses need to be tuned.
Yeah, that's so good, Laura. It's so, so important and timely what you've just said. We absolutely have to know him, that we, the authentic Jesus, that authentic is the essence of his nature that we're so familiar. And I love the language that you use, like we're being tuned all the time. And we must choose a lifestyle of being open to his presence all the time. I think just becoming consciously aware so that he's the one that's influencing and shaping us and tuning us, and the expression of our life is him, and we're living from union authentically and not compromised, not contaminated by different influences that want to try and shape us and convince us of our identity, which is counterfeit, like you said. You know, that's so important. I wanted to ask you.
We're also moving.
Go ahead.
Sorry, Liz. We're also moving away from a lot of the what he called false coverings and false identities. So even patriotism is a false identity. Our race is a false identity. We're starting to shed some of these things that we have been, these coats that we have been wearing as our identity. And we are shedding them and fully beginning to identify with Christ in us, the hope of glory. So,
yeah, totally. So important. So important because we are children of God, aren't we? Citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And we are to live authentically in that expression and that revelation understanding being the reality that we live out from and express into the earth. So that's so important. Yes, I wanted to talk to you about some of the healings that are happening with the sound that you're bringing, that there's a frequency that you're releasing in the worship, isn't it, that's coming from him, that where you're seeing healings happening and you're seeing depression and anxiety just melt away from within people. Will you talk to us about that? Like, what did he show you? How did that start? What's happening when you begin, that realm starts to open up, that sound begins to open up, because it's so needed.
Yeah, so it's so funny because isn't this so like him? Like whatever our gifting is and whatever our assignment is often our biggest challenge, right? Yeah. So from infancy, I've been in a constant state of fight or flight. And so shalom, which people think means peace, but truly it means the ability to govern over the chaos and mostly the chaos inside of us, inside our own waters. It means wholeness, really. Yeah. So shalom has been like my life journey. And it's also been the song that I released that has gotten an incredible amount of traction, because we're in the season where even when we're still learning to govern our own waters, he can still flow through us and he can still release shalom through us. So I do get I give everything away for free on my YouTube channel. It's part of coming as someone who came out of the music business. It's part of my journey with the Lord of trust and giving everything away so that I can fully lean on him for provision. But on my YouTube channel, I get comment after comment after comment about the peace and the wholeness that people seem to engage through the music. So yeah, the Lord did show me that mental health issues were going to be my biggest area of anointing for healing. And so at first I was like, I want the big stuff. Like, I want limbs to grow out when I play my music. I want, you know, new eyes. But the Lord has been using the music for massive mental health shifts and healing. And also part of wholeness and part of shalom and peace is when we begin to remember who we are.
Yeah,
we settle, because part of our anxiety and stress comes from the lack of not fully believing and knowing who we are.
Yeah.
So there is so much rest in knowing our identity. So both those things are important. The call to remembering and the call to the sound of our true identity is really important for our shalom, for our wholeness, to walk in the fullness of that.
Yeah, I love that. It's true, isn't it? I think when we live in that sense of separateness and we're not experiencing how loved we are, then that in itself produces a life of anxiety and stress, and we're not in rest. We're only fully in rest when we're living connected to the immersion that we actually live in. We live and move and have our being in Him, right? And we live from there. I remember when I was first with Jesus, when He came and visited me physically, the first thing He said to me was, come with me, always come and rest with me a while. And a lot of my life journey has been learning to live from rest in the presence of who is rest, living from the strength of knowing how loved I am all the time, and then giving that gift away to other people authentically, because it's from there that we really flourish in life, isn't it? And we become whole, because start to heal, because His love heals us. And when we're experiencing Him that way, we do rest and open up, don't we? And He begins to flow into us and through us, and all the attributes of who He is, we begin to experience, you know. And I love what you shared about the definition, the Hebraic definition of the word shalom. It's very, very powerful. It's absolutely nothing missing, isn't it? And it's what you just said as well. It's that where He brings the order, where there's internal and then external chaos. And what you said as well, I just wanted for clarification for people who didn't understand your language, when you said ruling over your waters, you're talking about us being high percentage water, the waters within us.
Yeah. And symbolically, waters mean emotions. They mean in scripture, they mean awareness, consciousness. So being able to govern our own chaotic emotions is how you can't give what you don't care. You can't give what you don't carry. And so part of the struggling to enter into His rest is the being willing to do what it takes to enter into rest.
Yeah.
So if with Him, even if it's the wrestling, you know, Jacob wrestled to enter into the rest. So, so that's really the only striving that we have to do, is strive to enter into the rest. And that takes discipline and practice, and it takes a true knowing in the deepest, most biblical sense, instead of, you know, knowing. It's the knowing here and knowing here in full union, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So good. And I think just living a life, one of the things that He's taught me down the years is just let go and trust me in every situation. In every situation, you know, He's given us the supernatural capacity to trust, like in every situation. And now, this far on, the muscle's a little bit more developed internally for me, where I default. I don't do it perfectly, but I will default rather than move towards the problem, towards the challenge and the turmoil and the storms. I'll immediately now turn into Him, choose rest as a disciplined way of life.
That's great that you pointed that out, because one of my favorite songs that He gave me is called Trust Fall. And I used to, and this is a great practice for people. I used to, my entire life, I used to have a dream or a visualization where I would come to the edge of a cliff and there would just be pure black. And it was terror, absolute terror. So I would practice, and I have, and I still do, I practice standing on the edge of that cliff and jumping into trust falling. into his hands and his arms. Because see, our brains train our body. Our brains train everything. What our heart, what we truly believe. So the more we practice that and frame that up, our body will begin to come into agreement with what we are framing up, because you can't have what you can't see. So until you start to see it, see wholeness, see facing that scariest thing, and practicing him being your salvation and part of that. Does that make sense? So I practice framing things up.
Yeah,
I practice what it looks like to be whole, what it feels like. I bring my body, my senses into practicing what it would feel like to not feel anxious, to feel totally safe, because trust is obviously, I think everything boils down to trust. Do we trust him?
Yeah.
Do you trust me?
Yeah, me too. That really is the bottom line. We're here to learn to live by faith, not me. And that's it. That is the key to everything. No, I absolutely love that. There's about 500 things I want to talk to you about now. The richness of everything that you're saying. Okay, because there really are so many different ways I could go now. But I wanted to ask you we've just got time for one more question. I wanted to ask you, this is it's a huge question. It's very difficult to distill it down into one answer, I know. But if there was one thing that you've learned so far in your life that you would share with somebody, if you could only share one thing to help them with their spiritual journey, what would you say?
That's easy for me, because he always gives you what you want. It never looks like what you think it's going to look like. So letting go of trusting that I will get what I desire, but letting go of the form that it comes in. And that's been a huge shift for me. Once I began to do that and open myself to whatever that looks like is truly okay.
Yeah.
Then that shifted everything for me.
That's massive. That's massive. Because you actually, when you do that, because it's so true, isn't it? The more you go on and you realize what I'm trusting you for is never, it never looks like I expect ever. And you have
and
to
trust
And
that's usually a good thing.
Yeah, totally. And he's perfect in his leadership. But no, when you do that and you truly yield to that level, you do completely decompress, don't you, from all the stress and the fear and the anxiety. And you live authentically as a new creation being from that place of just resting in him internally. That's the privilege. That's the gospel, isn't it? Like, yes. We've been set free to live from there, in that experience all the time, from the strength of just being loved and belonging and living in the reality of oneness with him. Oh my gosh, Laura, I'm so excited we're going to get to do an event together. We're going to get to do the throne together coming up. So we'll get to have more time together and be in the glory together. And you guys, if any of you can come and join us in Winchester in England, you are welcome. Just jump onto Liz Wright Walk and you'll find all the details. But Laura, thank you for giving us your precious time.
I love talking
to you.
You too.
God bless. And guys, thank you for giving us your precious time as well. We pray you have the most amazing week. And I look forward to being with you again next week. God bless. Over 20 years ago now, I had a life-transforming experience with Jesus. He enabled me to begin to walk with him in a supernatural way, where a lifestyle of encounters became my normal. And that's why I wrote Reflecting God. I have literally poured out into this book all of the keys that I have learned down the years on how you walk this kind of life with him. I encourage you, pick up a copy of Reflecting God from wherever you buy your books.